Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by A Wrestling Historian. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram for your latest dose of pro wrestling history. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the latest podcast. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me today, very special guest, former WWF and WCW head writer, and of course, the former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Vince Russo. Vince, welcome back. How you doing?
What is going on, John? How are you, man?
Doing good. I just saw WWE Experience in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So now they got their own, I guess, not Hall of Fame, but it's like their own place in Riyadh. To experience the WWE, there's a ring, there's title belts, there's this whole thing. I don't know if you saw that. It's crazy. In Saudi Arabia, of all places.
That's crazy, bro.
That should be
crazy.
In Orlando, Florida, right? Close to the Performance Center or whatever, like in a nice area where people are tour 24/7.
I would think so.
Saudi Arabia.
I would think so, yeah.
Weird, right? What the hell?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess they're big wrestling fans over there. I know, obviously, they pay, you know, $250,000 per show when WWF shows up to town, but that's crazy. Like they're
well, that's why you got to ask yourself, John, if they were serious about the WWE Hall of Fame, then why isn't there a WWE Hall of Fame?
True.
I mean, when did they start that, bro? What year did that start?
Technically, Andre was the first one. I believe it was 1993. It really got kicked off. Like off the ground in 2004 when they really started pushing it with that awesome class for WrestleMania 20.
Okay, so
and then since then, it's been on a roll.
So 2004, 20 years. 20 years. If you were really serious about this, how long would it take to put together a WWE Hall of Fame, like I said, in Orlando or wherever?
Quick. I mean, it wouldn't take long at all. And that guy, the archivist, the guy Ben Brown in WWF with Connecticut, he's got his own warehouse of all that stuff. You'd literally would take that stuff. All you had to do was transfer it down there. He would set it up, and it would look awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Strange. But I just thought that was weird when I was like, Saudi Arabia? I saw that commercial for it a while ago, but I was like, wow, man, that's kind of an interesting spot.
Bro, they know how to make money. That's what people can't separate, you know, business – from creative. They can't separate the two. I've said a billion times, they know how to make money better than anybody, bro. The business model, the streaming services, you know, you freaking name it, bro. They know how to make money, but I don't care what anybody says, their freaking product still sucks. I don't care what anybody says, bro. The shows suck. They suck, bro. When you got Sami Zayn and Nakamura as your main event, you suck. You suck, bro.
Not a fan of Nakamura, I guess. Wow.
No, bro, I mean, he's not a freaking main eventer. He's a good little hand. He's not a main eventer.
Not a fan of Sami Zayn either. Wow.
Oh, God. No, no. Sami Stallone. He's Rocky now, bro. He's Rocky. So I refer to him now as Sami Stallone, bro.
When you look at WWE right now, obviously making billions of dollars, like you said, business-wise, you just don't like them creative. Do you like the Rock involvement here? Like, what's going on with the Rock?
John, all this shit going on with the Rock, all this shit going on with We Want Cody, all this shit going on with the press conference in Vegas, okay? Great. Here's the bottom line, bro. This past Monday's Raw, the rating of the show was lower than a year ago. So for wrestling being hot and this, that, bro, the rating of the show was lower than last year. So where is this? Oh, it's hot. It's this, it's that. It's the same people watching the freaking show, bro.
Attendance is up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, well, everything's a house show. The TV shows are now house shows, bro. I'm talking about the television show. And I'll tell you why, John. Because people are going to YouTube to get the highlights of the show because nobody can sit through the show. So I'm just going to go to YouTube and I'm going to see the highlights of the show because it is not my time. It is not worth my time to sit through the entire show.
SmackDown is up, though. They did a great rating last week.
Yeah, they did.
SmackDown's up.
Well, bro, but that was coming right off the heels of the press conference. So they wanted to see what the fallout and the reaction was going to be.
Do you like how they're setting this up? Like, we don't really know if it's Roman Cody or Rock Cody. Do you like that?
Bro, listen, I like that Rock is involved because it's good for business. And when I talk about good for business, bro, I'm talking about the casual fans. If you got Rock back involved, you may be able to bring back some of the casual fans. But, you know, bro, like, again, you're asking the wrong person because, number one, I'm not going to watch WrestleMania regardless of who's in the main event. And number two, I don't care who's in the main. It makes no difference to me. But again, business-wise, you know, is it better because Rock is involved? Absolutely.
Do you like the fact, as far as behind the scenes, I know you don't care about the Rock in front of you, do you like behind the scenes how he basically has more power than anybody and that, you know, he's technically has more power than the Booker, who's Triple H?
Triple H is done, bro. But this time next year, by the end of 2024, Triple H will not be a part of the WWE. There is no need for Triple H at this point. You got Rock on the board of directors. Rock has already brought Gerwartz in. You know Rock's got his own people. I think right now Triple H is a lame sitting duck.
Wow. Interesting. Gone. And obviously Nick Khan is very high up on the power system.
Right.
Power,
and Nick Khan has had a relationship with Rock for years, and Ari Emanuel has a relationship with Rock. There's no need for Triple H. Bro, I think that Vince's entire regime is going to be gone by the end of the year. That means Shawn Michaels. That means Triple H, that means Bruce Pritchard, that means Michael Hayes, that probably means guys like Terry Taylor. That whole regime is going to be gone by the end of the year. There is going to be a clean slate, and it's going to become Ari Emanuel, Rock, probably still Nick Khan. It's going to be more Hollywood. It's going to be more entertainment. It's going to be more big name. And all those wrestling people, bro, are going to be out in the rain.
Wow. Okay. With The Rock and obviously his power behind the scenes, wouldn't you think that he would be like, hey, you know, you got Rock. You mean you got Cody versus Roman here, but hey, I'm on the board of directors here. My whole job here is to make the company more money, which in then turn will make me more money because I have a $30 million equity stake in this company. Wouldn't he just be like, well, I'm in the main event because I don't care about the Cody crybabies. Like, I should be in the main event because I'm going to make the most money.
John, let me explain all this to you because you are right. You are dead on. Rock got $30 million, not $30 million, 30 million shares of stock.
Right.
So to go from Cody and Reigns to Rock and Reigns, yes, bro, that main event is going to make a hell of a lot more money, which means a hell of a lot more money in Rock's hands. I'll tell you what I think happened, John. John, Rock has not been on a winning streak of late. He's taken a lot of hits, bro, in the last couple of years. It started, bro, when he went on there with Biden and Kamala. Okay, yeah, because what did that do, bro? That pissed off one half of the audience. Okay, if you are not on that side and you happen to be a fan of The Rock, now it's FU Rock. That was number one. Bro, then he came back with that Oprah shit and the Maui shit and asking people for money when it was sketchy to begin with. Well, some houses caught on fire, but others didn't catch on. Like, so that whole thing bit him in the ass. Black Adam bombed. The first year of the XFL bombed. So what I think happened, bro, is he had all these misses. And, bro, listen, John, I'm not taking a shot at The Rock. Everybody has ups and downs, bro, trials and tribulations. He's been in a down. There's been a lot of things that have gone wrong lately. I believe, bro, that he thought when he got announced for WrestleMania, there was going to be this tremendous pop and, oh, my God, The Rock's returning. Yeah, maybe to the casual fans. But the casual fans are not on social media, bro. They're not marks. They're regular people. Yep. So now, bro, he got that pushback from the wrestling community, which I don't think he expected. And all of a sudden, man, they got behind Cody. They're Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks. And I think at that point, Rock may have said, holy shit, I cannot have another blemish on my record right now. I really believe that, bro. And that's when I believe that's when they made the change again to go back to Cody Rhodes.
Interesting. So his call.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wouldn't you kind of want to just ignore the fans that are already there that will already be watching and buying anyway and want to get more of the mainstream fans that will know who The Rock is because he's, you know, a household name basically?
You want to know something, John? We all hear about it. We all talk about it. We all know about the elite. Okay? Bro, who knows who Rock's answering to? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Rock could be answering to, bro, a much higher power than you and I can even imagine. And if a much higher power thinks, you know what, bro, we really don't need this bad press right now. So who bro, when you reach the level of the Ari Emanuels and the Dwayne Johnsons, bro, when you reach that level, you have no idea. You have no idea what you're dealing with. You just don't know, bro.
When you look at The Rock and what's going on here, it seems like the bloodline is now stronger than ever because him and Roman are kind of like together a bit, but they're definitely teasing something with Rock and Roman because he kind of big brothered him at that press conference, stood in front of him, talked over him a little bit, and put himself as the high chief on that Samoan tree. So I don't know. I feel like something's going on there. Like he's got to be teasing something. I don't know. I can't see him being a heel for too long, but I don't, like you said, maybe he's just doing it because he wants to appease the Cody crybabies out there because they're kind of the vocal minority right now.
Yeah, and bro, you can't. The biggest mistake you can make is letting the tail wag the dog, bro. That to me is the biggest mistake you can make. And you know what, bro? Here's what people don't understand. They did the same thing with Daniel Bryan, bro. I challenge anybody to go back and look at the television ratings when Daniel Bryan was champion. They went down, bro. They went down because that's what the internet wrestling community wanted. That's not what the casual fans wanted. And if you go back and look at the numbers during Daniel Bryan's run, the numbers went down. They did the same thing all over again, bro. Bro, casual wrestling fans, television viewers don't care one iota about Cody Rhodes, bro. Not one.
I love Cody, but I just love that catchphrase, the Cody crybabies. I love that. The Rock is it's a genius.
It's the truth. I mean, it's the truth, bro. That bro, those people have convinced themselves that wrestling is real. They literally think wrestling is real, bro.
Now, speaking of The Rock, we're going to be talking about him today because Rock Bottom in Your House 1998, the WWF pay-per-view, it's obviously his name. We used to always come up with names. Are you guys just taking some stuff from him? SmackDown, Rock Bottom, or somebody feeding him those lines to use to create?
No, bro. He came up with like all of that stuff. He would have new catchphrases at every freaking TV. Because every time I saw him at TV, he would run over to me and tell me what he's got this week. I would love to take credit for all that. But, bro, every single week, the dude had a different catchphrase.
So, Rock Bottom, 98, on December 13th, Vancouver, British Columbia, at the General Motors Place. Over 20,000 people in attendance. You guys were kind of popular then. Buy rate about 290K, almost 300,000. So pretty good on a buy rate for kind of a throwaway December show, obviously leading up to Christmas, but 20,000 fans. You guys were pretty popular. That Steve Austin guy was kind of popular.
Yeah, he was. Austin was a little over, bro. He was a little over.
That guy that used to drink the beer and give the middle finger, that guy was like, I don't know, pretty popular.
Yeah.
As far as what was going on, I'll get into some interesting stuff, but I'll run through Sunday Night Heat real quick. Dwayne Gill with the Job Squad, Al Snow, Scorpio, Bob Holly defeated Matt Hardy with Jeff Hardy on the side and defended the WWF Light Heavyweight Championship in about a minute. Then Kevin Quinn defeated Brian Christopher, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Then Triple H with China, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg defeated Draws with Animal, 1 minute, 30 seconds. And the final match on Sunday Night Heat before the pay-per-view, the New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg defeated the Acolytes, Bradshaw and Farouk via DQ. The match went just about 2 minutes. So that's just to get that out of the way. Had four matches on Sunday Night Heat, which obviously got some good ratings because people are interested in watching the pay-per-view. As far as the pay-per-view itself, Sexual Chocolate is going to be a part of this. When that gimmick is coming up, obviously you're breaking up the nation, right? I mean, The Rock is in the corporation now. He's popular on his own. The Godfather is going to become the Godfather. I mean, Kama is going to become the Godfather. What do you think about the Sexual Chocolate, Mark Henry?
Bro, my best friend... the godfather of my son, who has since passed away. bro, we were friends and we were close friends. He was like a brother to me. And in kidding around, he always used to refer to me as Sexual Chocolate. And that's literally where I got it from. I mean, that's literally where I got it from. And bro, I love Mark Henry as Sexual Chocolate. I love the relationship with D'Lo. I love the little storyline we did with China. Mark Henry, bro, had a big personality. You know, John, I was just talking to Stevie Ray yesterday. And what I was talking to Stevie Ray about is what's missing from wrestling today for me more than anything is, bro, you don't have entertainers anymore. There's no entertainers. When Mark Henry did Sexual Chocolate, he was an entertainer. And D'Lo playing off of him, that was entertaining. All you got today, bro, is guys that want to wrestle. They just want to wrestle. They want to be wrestlers. They want to go out there and have a 20-minute, 5-star match. And there are no more entertainers. And, you know, putting Mark Henry in that role, he was freaking phenomenal, bro, because he was a great entertainer.
It's funny. I was talking to a young wrestler yesterday, and we were talking about this, and he kind of got it. It was very interesting. He said when he was doing the wrestler thing, he was doing what he loved. He wanted to be a wrestler, but he wasn't getting noticed. He wasn't doing, like, the little things and doing certain things. Then he changed his gimmick. He actually went viral with the gimmick. He was doing all this, like, crazy stuff that he kind of just did off the cuff, and he was doing just stuff to get noticed, and all of a sudden he realized, he goes, man, being a good little hand or being this wrestler thing doesn't really work. He goes, I need to do the entertainment. Sure, I have to know how to wrestle because I got to back up what I'm saying as I'm trash talking, but he was having much more fun with the promos and the character and Absolutely. Creating a gimmick, And he said, man, I got noticed so much more. And I noticed that I would do a little thing in the ring and I wouldn't have to take a bump. I, you know, like he would like, he, it's like, wow, you figured that out early on. I wish everybody else could figure that out.
Absolutely, man, because there's more longevity to that.
Yep.
There's less injury to that. There are so many more positives with being, you know, an entertainer and not just a wrestler. There's so many more positives, but they just want to go out there and wrestle.
Like with Mark Henry, like you, I know people like say, oh, name your favorite Mark Henry match or something, you know, something like, you know, condescending like that. But you remember him over some of the other guys. Remember he cried with the John Cena thing, like he was acting that he was retiring. Yeah, everybody remembers that because that was very good. Like in Sexual Chocolate, everybody remembers that. Might be silly to some, but it's funny because he was playing a character.
Right.
I feel like you have much more longevity just legacy or popularity wise by doing some of that stuff, because that kind of gets you noticed. Even a Stone Cold, when he was being an awesome wrestler, yes, he got over, but he was getting over because the trash talk, the middle finger, like the character stuff. And when he broke his neck, I feel like he got even more over because he was just doing promos and stuff and just stunnering people and wasn't necessarily wrestling. So I feel like Mark Henry was kind of getting that early on. Like, I got to play a character here.
And John, that's another thing, man. That is another thing. I remember, bro, when I would be writing the shows, and so-and-so was hurt and they can't wrestle. Okay, bro, so we're just not going to book them in a match. They're going to be on the show.
Right.
You know, whether it's on color or whether it's a vignette, they're going to be on the show. They just can't wrestle. I don't know what... Then, bro, now today, somebody gets hurt and you don't see them till they come back and wrestle.
Yep.
I don't know how that happened. You know, bro, if you want to get somebody over, they got to be on TV every single week. And if they can't wrestle because they're hurt, creatively, you got to put them in a different spot. But today, somebody gets hurt, you don't see them for 3-4 months until they can come back and wrestle again. I don't understand how that happened, bro.
It's interesting with Punk. I'm hearing that he's the one that kind of wanted to come back and do some of the stuff on TV while he's hurt, to, you know, to keep his name out there, maybe host Mania or just do something for WrestleMania and be a part of it. So I felt like, wow, that's interesting. That's opposite approach of what they normally do. When the guy gets injured, you don't hear from them forever.
Right. Yeah.
I remember, God, it was like 20 years ago. So when Orton got hurt, I remember they had him doing the Randy Orton news and doing like random sketches while he was hurt. I was like, wow, like it's good to see this guy instead of him just disappearing and we forget who he is after he got hurt.
Yeah. And what happened the last time Orton got hurt? How long did we not see him for?
Oh, 18 months. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Yeah.
Yep. He came back looking bigger and better than ever, though.
Yes, he did.
So as far as Sexual Chocolate, in this particular show, obviously he's going to be teaming up with D'Lo Brown, but they're going to be with Pretty Mean Sisters, Jacqueline and Terry. What's the idea behind PMS? Obviously, Pretty Mean Sisters.
PMS, Pretty Mean Sisters. Just to find them a spot on the show. I mean, again, they were great talents. You know, Terry Runnels was an unbelievable in that role as Marlena. She was unbelievable. She didn't say much, but she was unbelievable. You know, Jackie was a badass trash talker. So it was basically, bro, just to keep them on the show and find them a spot on the show.
Is that just your like clever name, PMS, Pretty Mean Sisters? Like,
yeah.
Or did they come up with that?
No, I think I did.
Now, it's going to be D'Lo and Mark Henry with Pretty Mean Sisters versus Supply and Demand, The Godfather and Val Venus. Do you like that team? Supply, obviously.
I never heard of that before.
Really? That's what they were calling themselves.
I swear to God, I think that's the first time I'm hearing Supply and Demand. That did not come from me. I didn't even know that.
Wow. Even Val Venus says he's the supply and I'm the demand, like that kind of thing.
I guarantee you he said it on his own in the promo and it stuck. And that's fine.
So not your idea?
No. Uh-uh. The Godfather wasn't my idea, bro.
Whose idea was it?
It came from Vince, bro. So I'm assuming, you know, Taker was best friends with Godfather. So I'm assuming it was a combination of maybe Taker and Charles Wright going to Vince, I'm assuming, but the whole train and all that stuff, that was not mine.
Probably a lot of the Godfather, a collaboration, if you will, right? Him saying what you should do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, bro, I swear to God, the funniest thing was, bro, we had to have girls for him, you know, so we used to hire him from talent agencies depending on what town we were in. Bro, I swear to God, if the women were not up to his expectations, he would not allow them to go out with him.
Really?
Swear to God, bro. Swear to God. Like, he took that Godfather role seriously. If they were not up to par, they had to stay in the back and could not go out with him.
That was probably the same thing for his club, right? Because he owned a club, right?
Yeah. Yep. 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 So that was pretty funny, man.
Wow, very interesting with Godfather. Supply and demand, not a Russo thing.
No, not the first time. First time I'm hearing it, bro.
Damn, I was like making a list of all your nicknames here. Supply and demand, PMS, sexual chocolate, not that.
No.
D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry get the victory over Supply and Demand. The match goes about 6 minutes. Was there going to be kind of a big idea for a push for Mark Henry? You know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say for Val and Godfather. No, that to me seems like it was a one-off. Did they work as a team a lot?
Not much after that, no.
Yeah, no. I mean, not a big push for Mark Henry, bro. I mean, you know, him and D'Lo together as a pair was very, very entertaining and useful in the show. But we never were talking about, like, at that time, you know, Mark Henry being in the heavyweight title picture or anything.
PMS, of course, get involved and distract him and help them win. I always liked D'Lo as, like, the straight man with Mark Henry, too, because I felt like he was, like, the funnier one of the two because he's, like, shocked by some of the stuff or trying to help him lose weight or, like, man, he doesn't get some of the stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always thought he was a great straight man.
There was a real good chemistry there, bro. It's all about chemistry. There was a great chemistry there.
Next up, we have the Headbangers, Mosh and Thrashers versus the Oddities, Golga and Kurgan with Giant Silva and Luna Vachon. The Headbangers get the win in 6 minutes, 30 seconds here. Not a great match, as you probably would imagine. Nothing too great here. Man, whose idea is the Oddities?
Yeah, bro, that was a Vince. And the proof that it was a Vince, bro, was that's why he put Sable with them to punish Sable and bring her back down to earth. Bro, Vince loved the idea of a hunchback wrestler who couldn't be pinned. He thought that was like the greatest idea in the world. And that's how the Oddities came about.
You know, Jim Herd had the same idea for the Ding Dongs kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
I heard about
Yeah, he wanted to. Well, what's up with these guys? These older guys thinking.
Who knows? Now we gotta ask ourselves, bro. With the lawsuits, if a female hunchback is gonna come forward now with some allegations against Vince, bro. Can you imagine?
Oh my God, that'd be insane. When you look at the Oddities too, it's Golga, which is John Tenta under a mask.
Yeah.
Why?
He's still. Bro, I'll tell you why I think that is. Because from what I can remember, bro, John Tenta really needed a job. He really needed the money. So I would assume, bro, he was hounding the office. So, okay, bro, we'll give you a job, but we're going to put you under a mask and give you this ridiculous gimmick. That's what that sounds like to me.
Wow.
Because Gogo was not my invention.
Now,
I don't even know what that Gogo, I don't even know what that name means. I don't even know. Do you?
Me too. No clue. But to me... I would just had him as Earthquake, and he could have been in the corporation with Vince, or you know, maybe try to take out Austin, or I don't know, something like Earthquake.
Unless Vince was trying to humiliate him because he was begging for a job,
right? It's definitely possible, which is pretty sad that happens.
It definitely is sad, bro. Definitely
in a business designed for the guys to make money and you to make money off the guys. You know what I mean? Kind of silly.
Yep.
I think it was years ago. I think it was Al Snow who said, oh, they would never do that as far as like wasting money. And I've asked a ton of other guys and like, oh my God, they're like, I have proof that
happened. My God, bro. Yeah. Over and over and over and over again to this day, they continue to do business that way. Maybe it'll change a little bit now with Vince out of the mix, but Pritchard loved that stuff. So, but like I said, without Vince now, maybe that'll change.
Is it like a rib or is it like to get the guy it's back or they just think it's funny?
Control. It's control, bro. It's control. Okay, bro. You want a job. You need money. You want to push. You want TV time. Okay. Are you willing to go out there and do this? Bro, look how many times did they put Lana through a table? Remember?
Oh, that's
what,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what that was. Yep. That's exactly what that was, bro. Bro, you know how, do you watch Raw now?
Yeah. Yep.
Bro, do you know how there is always that shot with about six or eight of the girls, tag team girls, in the back watching a monitor?
Yeah.
That shot is in like every show. Now, bro, think about that for a second. They've got to fly all those women in, you know, airfare, travel, the whole nine yards, pay them for the day. They got to fly all that those women in to get a shot that is absolutely meaningless. The shot means nothing. As a matter of fact, bro, you can record that shot and just keep playing that shot over on different TVs, okay? So you got to ask yourself, why are they pissing money away for eight girls, flying them all in for a five-second spot that means nothing? Well, bro, I guarantee you, those are the girls that kvetched and bellyached about not being on TV. So that's what they do. Okay, you want to be on TV? We're going to fly you all the way in. You're going to have to leave on the weekend. You're going to have to go through all this to get a five-second spot on the show. That's what that's about, bro, because it's a waste of money and it adds nothing to the show. That's the reason they do it.
I was just listening to an interview with Nia Jax probably last week. She was talking about one of those table spots with Lana, and she said actually one of them didn't happen. So there was supposed to be another one outside of the 10 that already happened because Roman Reigns was doing a table spot later on that night, which is so funny that the agents don't get together and figure this out. He said you can't have a table spot with the women and then have it happen the main event because it doesn't necessarily just have to be the women. It could be anybody because it'll ruin the table for later on. They were going to leave it in. He made them take it out.
They do that. There's going to be one more. John, they do that all the time now. You know, when I was working, bro, there was the one spot. John, look at how many times during Raw they use the announce table. Yep. Look at how, oh my God, bro. At least three times a show. At least three times. Bro, when I was writing, one time, the match that needed it or the main event, one time. Now, they're using that thing three, four times a show.
Years ago, I used to work backstage for just a small wrestling company, and a buddy of mine was the promoter. He would literally put on the sheet, don't do this move because this guy does it. And I absolutely. Said, wow, you literally have to write that out? That's embarrassing. And he goes, yes. And he goes, whatever. And somebody showed me one from WWE backstage. It said no super kicks, and it's except for the Usos. It was something like they had to like literally spell it out
absolutely,
for them.
Absolutely.
That's crazy to me.
But like I said, now, bro, that rules out the window.
And I noticed that the Tegan Nox, she was doing a move that Rhea Ripley does. And if I was Rhea Ripley, I'd be like, you don't do that move. That's like, it was the headbutt. She does that headbutt thing. Do not do the headbutt. And then she did a move that Becky Lynch does. I would be, if I was the agents, I wouldn't even be Becky and Rhea. I would say, you cannot do this move. These are the two top women. They do that move.
Bro, you know, I do the show with Stevie Richards. And bro, Stevie will tell the story of you know, Shawn Michaels was out hurt for a while, and Stevie was using his super kick. And Stevie knew as soon as Shawn came back, he wasn't using the super kick anymore. Nobody even had to tell Stevie. He right. knew that as soon as Shawn was back, Stevie didn't use the super kick anymore.
That would be like, hey, let's just start using the stunner. Because Austin, like, unless you're going to feud with him, you do not use the stunner.
It's
crazy that they did stuff like that. Yeah. I'll tell you off air, but I do have some heat with Stevie, but I'll tell you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. Shockingly, Stevie.
Yes,
yeah, kind of funny, but shockingly.
Yeah.
The next matchup, Steve Blackman defeated Owen Hart by a countout in 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Actually, a pretty damn good match. Long match for pay-per-view for Steve Blackman. What do you think here? Was Blackman starting to get a bit of a push here in 1998?
Ah, bro, you know, again, he lacked the gift of gab. And you know, we all knew that, everybody knew that, and because of that, he was only going to go so far. So, you know, we were trying to move him up the card, but we knew, bro, he just did not have that part of his game, man, and that was going to hurt him.
When you look at Owen at this point too, he's kind of getting, I know he's like in the mid card, but he breaks, quote unquote, Dan Severn's neck with the pile driver. So it's like, I feel like you guys were trying to, I don't know, do something with Owen, maybe more than what he was doing.
You know, bro, it's funny because I'm watching some of the shows now where Taker and Austin are the tag champs. Okay. Yep. And bro, Owen, who is a heel, is starting to get over. Because again, I'm going back to the entertainment. He's cutting the promos during his match of "I'm not a nugget, I'm not a nugget," and then we got Jason Sensation, you know, coming out and doing the Owen, and it's pissing him off, and Owen beats him up. So it's just funny, bro, because people are really like starting to like Owen. Because he's just becoming so entertaining. That was part of the reason, bro, of why we morphed into the Blue Blazer. That's why, because Owen was so freaking entertaining and funny.
Do you think the breaking of the neck of Severn, do you think that's bad to do because of the Austin thing where he really did legitimately hurt him with the pile driver?
Man, bro, I don't really remember that. I don't remember that angle at all, bro. So I can't really answer. Severn wasn't legitimately hurt.
No. Yeah. It was an angle. Yeah,
that's weird. That I understand what you're saying, and that is a little weird.
Because it kind of fed into the fact that if Owen could hurt guys, he feuded with Shamrock, he feuded with Blackman, he feuded with Severn. Like, he could be a shooter with those guys, even though it apparently was legit tough. But yeah, he could be a shooter.
And that's why we did the match in the dungeon. Remember, we did the match. Yep. That's exactly why. Yep. Yeah.
So one of those things where I guess a little bit of shoot stuff going on. I just was curious if Austin maybe had a problem. Like, hey, guy really broke my neck. Now you're, you know, using
it. Yeah, I don't think Austin would, bro, because it was like somebody else's angle. You know what I mean? I don't think Steve would have gave his two cents in somebody else's angle.
It's kind of like McIntyre today. He heard Punk and now he's got a t-shirt saying that he ruined the guy's career.
Right.
Apparently Punk loves it though. He thinks it's hilarious. So I guess he could feud with Drew when he comes back.
Yeah, Drew's the best thing on the show. There's no doubt. Drew is the best. It feels like everybody else is trying too hard and Drew's just laid back doing his thing. And it's the best thing on the show.
And it's crazy. No one talks about him being a good promo, right? He was out promoing Cody and Punk, who are supposedly their two best guys.
No doubt, bro. Because it's more, he's more natural.
Yeah.
Drew is very natural. Cody, oh my God, bro. I want to kill myself when Cody cuts a promo. He used the line in a promo. First of all, bro, you got to understand they're in Lexington, Kentucky. And he uses the line, "the levity of my demeanor." Bro, you're in Lexington, Kentucky, talking to hillbillies. Like, why are you using this language, talking over people's heads when you're supposed to be a babyface? It's just, it just seems so forced to me, bro.
And obviously better than Rollins, too. Rollins, he just doesn't fit at all to me, anyway.
Yep. Please, man.
So the next matchup, The Brood, Christian Edge and Gangrel versus the Job Squad. Al Snow, Bob Holly, and Scorpio, of course, with their manager Head. The Brood get the victory in 9 minutes. Okay, match. Nothing really right home about. Christian pinned Scorpio for the match. What did you think of the Brood? Because obviously that's your baby, right? You kind of came up with the Brood.
Yeah, that's my baby, but I got to give all the credit. You see how I'm giving credit here, bro?
Yes,
unlike Vince, I got to give all the credit in the world to, bro, I don't know if it was Kevin Dunn or I don't know if it was somebody on his crew. Bro, whoever came up with the entrance of that Ring of Fire, that was freaking awesome. And the music and Jim Johnson's music.
Yes.
Their entrance, bro, was a big, big part of getting them over. And that Ring of Fire stuff, bro, that was freaking awesome. I had nothing to do with that. But that was a cool little gimmick. They all looked the part. That was a cool little gimmick, bro.
Who came up with the coming up, like from the – that's just Kevin Dunn, the production
TV,
team?
TV, absolutely. TV and production, absolutely, yeah.
Quick sidebar here about Kevin Dunn, and I don't know if this was done on purpose or what was going on, but as soon as he left for like 2 weeks, the audio was horrible. I don't know if you noticed that or not, if you picked up on that. The audio was terrible.
Not only was the audio terrible, bro, you are starting to see a lot of missed spots. Like Kevin Dunn knew how to protect the talent. Bro, a couple of weeks ago, one of the match ended with McIntyre using the Claiborne. Bro, he missed the guy by 3 feet, and you clearly saw it on TV.
Yeah,
never happened on Kevin's watch, bro.
When you look at that, too, it's one of those things where everyone makes fun of him, you know, because of Bucky Beaver, whatever they say. I say probably the best production guy, you know,
not did me,
I
can think bro. Of.
I mean, obviously, bro, yeah.
I always said, because I work with him for so long, he was just as valuable to that company as Vince McMahon. No freaking doubt in my mind.
If people think another cog in the wheel, I don't know about that. I don't think so. You know what I mean? No. Just say, oh, another cog in the wheel is going to keep rolling. I don't know about
that.
And I noticed it for 2 weeks. The audio was terrible. Yep. And you could say, oh, they lowered it for this. I don't know if that happens, you know, under his watch and not being able to fix it.
He was the best, man. I never say a bad word about Kevin Dunn. But it's funny too, bro, how he bailed right before all of this, bro.
Right. Did he know something?
He had to. Is the timing of it, bro, he had to know something.
The next match up here, Goldust versus Jeff Jarrett with Debra, striptease match. I don't really recall
the striptease part. I would think, with Debra and Marlena.
Yeah, I was going to say,
but Marlena was with the other group by now, though.
So if Goldust wins, Debra has to do a bit of a striptease.
Maybe. Either Debra or him.
Yes. Or Goldust. Yes.
Yeah.
Very interesting, though, because obviously Debra looked great at that point, and obviously you don't want to see anything to do with Goldust doing anything, but he's hilarious. But Goldust does get the win over Jeff Jarrett via DQ in about 8 minutes. Pretty damn good match. Both these guys obviously really good. So after the match, when Debra is stripping and stuff, I don't know if you remember this, that Michaels comes out and basically kind of covers her up with a jacket. She's in the bra, whatever.
Sean Michaels. And then,
the commissioner. Okay. Yeah, he's the commissioner.
Okay.
But, well, actually, I mean, not that he covers her up. He kind of makes sure that Jeff Jarrett doesn't cover her up. I mean, so Jack, like, she's taking the bra off, and you know, obviously everyone's, all the males and attendants are loving life. And then Jarrett's trying to cover up. Michaels is the commissioner since they lost. Right. He has to make sure to oversee what's going on here. Michaels is babyface. He says to Jarrett, you got to get out of here. The Blue Blazer makes an appearance and ends up covering Debra with the Blue Blazer cape. So basically, Jarrett and Blue Blazer getting a lot of heat here for that. The crowd wants to see her strip.
And then for the longest time, we didn't know who the Blue Blazer was. Yeah, that was fun. Like, bro, that's freaking entertainment. Like, man, that's just fun stuff, man.
When this is going on, obviously, Michaels is a babyface as the commissioner, so the crowd loving him, getting Jarrett the hell out of the way, and then the Debra stuff. Did she ever have any problem with this, or she's just like, because it's great TV, especially during the Attitude Era. Fits in perfect. It's great TV.
Bro, I used to say this all the time. Bro, these women that I worked with, bro, the time and effort and commitment they put into their bodies between working out, dieting. I mean, bro, these women took such great pride in their appearance that when you had somebody like Deborah, bro, it was no different than Rick Rude going out there, you know, with his six pack and, you know, showing it was no different. I mean, these women like literally were works of art. I mean, just the shape and the condition, Aaron. And bro, when I talk about like, even like I'm talking about Deborah now and people don't understand. I'm not talking about, oh bro, they got big boobs and they got a great ass. That's not what I'm talking about. Bro, I'll tell you what, man, the first thing that my eye appeals to when I see like a girl in a bathing suit or something like that, bro, I swear to God, my eyes go two places. Number one is the abs. Like when I look at Jade Cargill, I'm like, holy shit. You know what I'm saying? And number two, the muscle tone of the legs. I mean, that's where my eyes go, because that's where you can see how freaking hard these girls work out. Just as much as the guys. So, bro, I never came across any female that, you know, like had a problem with being in a bathing suit. And that's the thing, bro. Like, I always get accused of these bra and panty matches. Bro, those happened after I left. Yeah, I never booked.
That's Smoker Wurtz era, yeah.
Yeah, I never booked one single bra or panties matches. Not one. But in cases like this, man, when these girls like work their asses off for those bodies, they didn't have a problem going out there in a bikini.
And Deborah looked like $1 million at this point.
Yeah.
Do you love the heel heat that Jared and the Blue Blazer get? Because, man, that's they tremendous. Were furious at that.
The angle all around is tremendous. Showing the baby face, not letting you, the angle all around is tremendous. Yeah.
Goldust hilarious because he wins. He wants the crowd to be happy. He wants to be happy.
Yeah.
Great heel heat too, because I mean, they hate Jared as it is. They just absolutely hate him. But the Blue Blazers are like, what the hell? What are you doing? Don't cover him. And he's trying to do what's right. Which is funny, because if you do that gimmick, let's say in the 80s, he's a babyface. You do that in the Attitude Era, you're a heel.
Absolutely. And Jeff was, man, Jeff was always, bro, wherever I worked for him, what a great heel, man. What a great heel. Whatever company I work with him, what a great freaking heel.
Now, New Age Outlaws are going to be working twice. They worked on Sunday Night Heat, and they're working again here. The New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg defending the Tag Team Championships against the Corporation, Big Boss Man, and Ken Shamrock. What do you think here as far as the Outlaws working double duty?
That's very interesting, bro, unless somebody else was injured. Because, why would we book them on Sunday Night Heat with the chance of them getting hurt? You know what I'm saying? Then there is no match. So I would have to think, bro, something changed last minute. Maybe there was somebody we were going to use on Heat that got hurt. That's what I would think.
Now, it's funny. Michaels in the match before is kind of basically playing like a bit of a baby face with Jarrett and making sure that Deborah is the one that has to strip and that Jarrett got disqualified. And this match is interesting because he's kind of being that commissioner who's kind of on the take a part of the Corporation, which obviously later on down the line would lead to him turning babyface and, you know, turning on Vince and helping Austin get his match at WrestleMania 15. But here he's with the Corporation. So it's the Outlaws versus the Corporation, Big Boss Man and Shamrock, but Michaels is in their corner. Interesting though, but it's kind of a little bit laying the groundwork for him not really helping the Corporation. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are kind of laying the groundwork of him being a babyface
and him setting them up. You know what I'm saying, bro? He's in the corner making Vince think he is with them. I mean, we definitely could have been using that as a setup.
When you look at it too, he's going to try to help them win, help them cheat. So it's just all a part of the setup. Like, he's really not with them and whatever.
Making Vince think he is.
Right. Your favorite thing, the swerve, bro.
The swerve, which is dead and gone.
I love that old expression, the swerve, bro, the swerve.
Yeah. I miss the swerve, bro. I miss it.
The Outlaws, of course, get the victory in 16 minutes here, defeating Shamrock and Bossman, despite Michaels kind of cheating. So whatever he was doing wasn't really helping anyway, which kind of may lead you to believe that maybe he really didn't want it to help. You know what I mean? One of those type deals.
Which also, bro, you got to kind of take into consideration that was there a little heat with Michaels because DX went on without him?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you got you got to take that into consideration too.
Do you think that it was more popular without him?
Man, bro, because when you think about it, you had three people replace one. You know what I'm saying? You had the X-Pac and the Outlaws replace Sean. Man, I liked the original DX when it was just Triple H, Shawn, and China. I really, really liked that. But I think maybe because they were more personalities involved, the later version may have been a little bit more popular.
Very interesting as far as the next matchup, because it's a WWF Championship match, but it's not the main event. It's going to be Mankind versus The Rock for the WWF World Championship. Of course, The Rock is now the champion after the Montreal Screwjob Part 2, if you will, at the Survivor Series, where The Rock revealed he is now the leader of the corporation, and he's under the guise of Vince McMahon and Shane, who are going to be in his corner during this match. Do you love the way that all came down and how The Rock turned heel and kind of became the number one heel in the company?
Yeah, I absolutely. Yeah, because Ed and I, like, laid out that story for months and months and months and months. So yeah, I really like that. Yeah.
Very interesting that before the match kind of starts, it gets delayed because Vince McMahon is basically saying that, you know, The Rock doesn't have to do this match. Basically all this heel stuff are kind of not wanting Mankind the match, because Mankind is the one that they screwed over to win the title. So Mankind thought he was with Vince, and then obviously it was really The Rock. When you look at it, that's the guy. And The Rock would purposely say, like, look at me and look at you. I look like $1 million. You look like an old shoe. You know, like he would say, you know, this, you know, the old Flair thing, like, this thing is worth more than your house. And like all this stuff, typical, I'm upper class heel, you're lower class loser. That's why Vince wanted nothing to do with you. So it was like the perfect kind of dichotomy of like the rich guy versus the poor guy, the Rocky versus the Apollo Creed. It was, and they had awesome chemistry together too, Rock.
And I mean, Mick was perfect for like just the poor soul. You know what I mean? I mean, what just the perfect person to play that spot, you know?
Mankind tries to get Rock to admit at the prior pay-per-view, and tries to get Vince to admit that, hey, Survivor Series, I never submitted. Vince just rang the bell. Vince and The Rock said, nope, you quit. No, it happened. So obviously they screwed him over, making him look even more better in the end, because it's like they really couldn't beat this guy. They tried to trick him, but you really couldn't beat him. So that was kind of like the real impetus of the feud, was that The Rock needed to cheat every step of the way and still couldn't really beat Foley, because Foley was too tough.
And crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you think that they were going to have as good of chemistry together as they did? Because they're, even the promos back, everything with them is amazing.
No way. No way, bro. No way. Again, bro, I'm going to go back to what I've said earlier. Just great entertainers. Great freaking entertainers. No way did I think they were going to have that chemistry.
When you look at it too, with Rock and Foley, was it meant to just be a quick, short thing to get Rock ready for Austin, or was this always destined to be a longer feud? Because they feud for months.
Yeah, bro. Like I said, man, John, we wrote from pay-per-view to pay-per-view. So if it was working, bro, we just kind of roll with it and let it continue on. And that was working, bro. So we just continue to go with it.
When this is going down with this feud, it's one of those things where you kind of don't know what you have, but that is a good thing in writing, right? Because it's like, okay, now we know what we have. Now we can build upon it. Instead of writing in the past, because I've noticed that with today's writing, it's like they won't kind of change what's going to go happen in the future because they wrote it down in their notebook or whatever. They wrote it down.
Absolutely. That's what Eric Bischoff always used to say about me. Oh, Vince Russo would come up with an idea, but when you asked him where it was going to go, he would give you the deer in the headlights look. No, bro, there was no deer in the headlights. I didn't know where it was going to go. You let it happen organically. John, do you know right now what's going to happen in your life tomorrow? Do you know? Nope. Of course not. So you organically go with it, bro. You the story will write itself. And that's how we wrote that whole freaking era. We didn't have stuff laid out for 3 months, 6 months, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to go that. It was week to week to week to week. We knew where we were going to go into the next pay-per-view, but that was it.
Now, I know what I'm planning on doing, but that's just a plan. It's not going to be set in stone until it organically evolves itself, but I'm going to try to base something off the plan. So that's like the writing too. It's like, all right, we kind of, you know, we want to give The Rock the big push. Let's see how he does with Foley. Wow, this Foley thing is really over. And then just keep snowballing it.
Yes, that's it.
You got to be adapt. You got to adapt too. But this match is very interesting because Mankind actually beats The Rock, even though Shane and Vince are getting involved. Shane's interference kind of works against him at one point, but he wins via referee stoppage when he puts the Socko in, the mandible claw down his throat. After the match, even though Foley wins, Vince is like, whoa, you can't be the new champion because he never submitted and he was never pinned. He won by a referee stoppage, technically. Right. Is that just a clever heel thing to do to keep Rock as champion, but make him look like a chicken shitty?
Bro, that was the fun for us. The fun for us was, how are we going to get out of this? You know what I mean, bro? And how are we going to creatively get out of this? That was the fun, bro. And that was the challenge. And again, bro, like all of this stuff, you just don't see it anymore, bro. It just doesn't exist.
So Foley does actually get the win, but as McMahon says, you're not the champion. Then Mankind beats up him as he's announcing that. Then Briscoe and Patterson give all, they get beat up. And then finally Boss Man comes down, beats up Foley to kind of like subdue him, and him and The Rock, you know, get out of town, if you will. Yeah. But he remains champion, but he lost. So obviously that's going to continue the feud to the Royal Rumble. And then even Halftime Heat, and then St. Valentine's Day Massacre, then Monday Night Raw. I mean, the feud is just going to keep going with these two.
Yeah.
Now, interesting. How come the world title match is not the main event and you have Steve Austin? Is that because Steve Austin's the biggest star in the show?
Well, what is the main event?
Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker with Paul Bearer in a Buried Alive.
Yeah, that's a spectacle. You know what I'm saying, bro? Not only do you have two of the biggest stars in the company, but that is a spectacle. You know, a Buried Alive match. Yeah, I mean, that should be the main event.
Before this happens and kind of leading up to it, do you remember the embalming angle? Undertaker knocks Austin out with a shovel and he goes to embalm him with Paul Bearer at the funeral parlor.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
What was the idea behind that?
What do you mean?
Like, are we thinking that he's just like this sicko? He's going to embalm and kill the guy? Like, what's just like to raise the stakes of the feud.
Even bro, it's very much because I was just watching last week. It's very much choppy, choppy, pee pee. You know what I'm saying? And bro, keep in mind, you've got a lot of kids watching, bro, that you know, believe that, you know, Austin's going to get embalmed. So yeah, it's just, you know, raising the stakes, bro. And it's just really staying true to people's characters. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's really all it is.
Of course, it doesn't happen. Kane makes the save. It does not happen. So he does not get embalmed by those two. But it kind of shows that Undertaker is no longer under Vince's control. He's with Paul Bearer. And now he's kind of nuts. Like, he's really like in this demonic, the Attitude Era has completely changed him. He is devil kind of ringleader, so to speak.
Definitely, bro. It was a good transition for him too at the time.
The ministry kind of gave him another evolution to his character.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin gets the win over The Undertaker in about 21 minutes. Not a great match. There's some things with like the pouring of the dirt and the different things that they would eventually get right later on down the road with different Buried Alive matches. But I don't know, for some reason, I felt like this match didn't mesh as well as like SummerSlam or other matches that they've had against each other.
Was this wasn't the first Buried Alive match?
No, Undertaker it? Mankind was the first one.
Yeah, well, earlier. You know, bro, but this is the first time Austin's working one. You know what I'm saying, bro? Like it definitely is a different kind of match, bro. To this day, I still don't know how they did it. Like the technicality involved. I still don't know how they buried somebody alive. I still have no idea how they did that.
There's got to be some sort of trap door that leads to somewhere. I would still be claustrophobic as hell going through that trap door.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I don't know how that was laid out. I got no idea.
Taker apparently doesn't care. He used to sleep in some of the caskets, like to take a nap so nobody would bother him. So obviously he's not claustrophobic. He doesn't care about stuff like that.
Yeah. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. But Austin ends up getting the win. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of chicanery. Kane's involved, and there's a lot of things going down to end the show. But he wins, pours the beers on there, and basically, you know, buries Undertaker alive, thanks to, in part to Kane. But the whole thing about this match was McMahon was trying to screw Austin. So he said, for the right to compete in the 1999 Royal Rumble, whoever wins this is in, whoever loses is out. So you're not going to be a part of the Rumble. So he's hoping Undertaker can kind of unwittingly do his bidding so that he never gets the title back, because that's his whole thing, to control the corporation, have the Rock at the top of the heap and not lose the title and have Austin nowhere near their world title.
Right Exactly, man. Well thought out plan.
Good stakes too for the match. So if Austin loses, he can't be in the Rumble, so he can't be a part of WrestleMania.
Right, absolutely. Yep.
Of course, he wins. That ruins part of the plan. So then, of course, when the Royal Rumble comes around, he's going to make Austin number one. So it's going to be impossible to win the whole thing. And he's going to put himself as number two to ensure that Austin doesn't win the Royal Rumble.
That's great stuff, bro. That's great stuff.
The Austin McMahon feud is pretty damn hot at this point. Pretty great. But it is also great to see the tentacles spreading out. Like, Vince has a problem with Foley. The Rock is becoming as big of a star as Austin, which is unfathomable, but it is coming and it's true. Undertaker is like this ministry thing. He's sick. Kane hates Undertaker and he hates Paul Bearer now. So what's going on with him? So you got all these tentacles spread around the Austin McMahon feud.
Bro, that is just John staying true to everybody's character. That's what that is, bro. Stay true to everybody's character and this will write itself. Bro, it's like I'm looking at the current story and I'm like, okay, Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble. He points up to Roman Reigns, telling him he's going to take his title. 6 days later, he tells Roman, I'm going to take your title, but it's not going to be at the Royal Rumble. And then 6 days later from that, Cody is going to face, with no explanation to any of this. And that's what I'm talking about, bro. You know, being true to somebody's character. Cody went from saying, it's not going to be WrestleMania, to Triple H putting him in the main event, to no explanation whatsoever. I mean, those are the things that I'm talking about. I mean, I lived in the boots of like every freaking wrestler I wrote for. What would they do if this happened? What would they say if somebody said this to them? I always became the character. They don't do it that way anymore, bro.
So interesting with that, though, because they got to have some sort of explanation, because he did say this is bullshit. So what does he mean, this is bullshit? You know what I mean? Like, they got to start explaining what's going on.
Bro, do you know what I think the original plan was?
What?
I think the original plan was when Cody cut the promo saying, I'm going to take everything from you. I'm going to take everything from you. And then he said, I've been consulting people. And I'm going to take that title from you, but not at WrestleMania. And then The Rock came out. Bro, I think the original plan was Rock was going to wrestle Roman, but not for the title, for the head of the table. Because that's why when Cody said, I'm going to take everything from you, I've been consulting, I think that was the plan. I think the plan was Rock says, Let me take the head of the table from him, and then you take the only thing he's got. I think that was the original plan.
Interesting.
But the way, but like I said, then they get the pushback from the internet wrestling community. So now they completely change it. But now it makes no sense why they changed it, because they didn't even try to make sense out of it.
Yep. He's got to have some sort of explanation about, like, how come you changed your mind there?
I would think so. I mean, I would think so. But, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. As far as this show is concerned for Rock Bottom, you're going to give it a thumbs up? I know people saying, oh, that maybe all the matches weren't great, but storyline-wise, you guys were pretty hot right here, because people were definitely about to tune in, and especially when Foley wins the title in January. Like, I mean, they're really going to start tuning in, and, you know, 800,000 people, which is the audience of AEW, they're going to flick the channel, watch Nitro. They mention it. They, you know, they're going to watch Raw. They're going to watch Foley win the title. So obviously you guys are going to get super hot at this point.
Yeah, no, bro. And that was the thing, man. You had storylines took a prominent place during these pay-per-views, bro. We needed these pay-per-views to continue to tell these stories. And it just sounds like, from the sound of this, that's what we just continue to do.
And you had to be there. The Attitude Era was awesome. And you're watching it week to week, you're into it. You know, you had to be there for it. I hate when people go back, oh, it wasn't as good as people said. You had to live it.
Yeah, bro. Like I said, man, on Russo's brand right now, every 2 weeks I go back and I review these shows. And, you know, bro, there are some things I would have done differently. And I'll say it. I mean, I'll say it on the show. But there are just some things where, like, just from a television viewer, I'll just shake my head and say, man, that was just so freaking good. When they had that three-way with Austin, Kane, and Taker. Well, no, it wasn't. Yeah, Austin, Kane, and Taker.
Yep.
No, was it Austin, Kane, and Taker? Mick, Kane, and Taker, whatever it was. And Taker didn't come down. And then Kane goes over and reveals himself as the Undertaker.
Oh yes,
bro. I get chills when I see that. Like, that was like, bro, that's just the stuff that's missing today. That's all.
All right, let's wrap it up and hit the plug to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip Boots. What do you got?
Yeah, guys, one thing, man, if you've never been a Patreon, and you go to patreon.com/RussoTWC right now, you can get a free week of the brand. Listen to all the shows. No obligation. Absolutely free. So just go to patreon.com/RussoTWC.
All right. Thank you to Vince. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next time for another podcast. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.